Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com. A special thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Cavallo. For our Humble Hoof listeners, they are offering 15% off their Cavallo Trek hoof boots using the coupon code HRN at checkout. The Trek is the world's most popular and versatile hoof boot and Cavallo's toughest trail boot, while also doubling as an option for therapy or rehab. The front closure system makes it easily adaptable to various hoof shapes. TPU upper design allows for maximum strength while minimizing weight for the comfort and ease of movement for your horse. These are recommended by vets and trainers and also loved as transport boots by barrel racers, show jumpers, dressage riders, and everyone in between. Again, 15% off a pair of Treks. Use the code HRN at checkout at cavallo-inc.com. Dr. Martina Neidhart has been in the podcast before about soft tissue rehab with horses. And I reached out to her again because over and over again on Facebook, I see her comment some really great insight into reading radiographs as a hoof care provider. Dr. Neidhart is a veterinarian, but she is super patient in explaining some of the more intricate ways to look at radiographs for those of us who aren't veterinarians and still enjoy looking at radiographs and using them to consider what we should do with the horse's feet that we see week to week. Before we get into our episode, I want to give some basic terms so that when you hear it come up in the episode, they're more familiar to you. So with radiographs, some of the most common views are a lateral view, which is taken from the side of the hoof. So you're taking the radiograph at ground level from the side of the hoof. We also talk about DPs, so a dorsal palmar or front to back image. If we just say a DP, it's typically taken from ground level in front of the foot. And if we add a degree in front of that, like a 65 degree DP view, then that is where it's still taken from the front of the hoof, front to back, but the image is taken higher off the ground to assess different structures. Dr. Neidhart also might mention that some images can be taken oblique. And when we typically talk about the term oblique in this episode, it usually means that the radiograph has been taken at an angle or off angle instead of the typical straight on that most of us look for. So while a lot of times a radiograph can purposefully be taken oblique to assess a certain structure, sometimes it can be taken oblique because the horse shifted or the machine shifted when the view was taken or wasn't held exactly where the veterinarian might have wanted, and it actually skews the view of the bones on the radiograph. And while I am sure that there's a lot of other terminology that might not be familiar, I will try to explain that as it comes up. All right. Well, I know that you've been on the podcast before, but why don't you give us a little refresher and tell us a little about your background and your interest in podiatry radiographs?
Yes. So I'm a vet. I studied originally at the university in Switzerland, up till 2003. And then I started working at the Equine National Center in Bern. And then later I had the honor to work with the Swiss driving team. And we worked a lot there with sport horses. And we had the really great opportunity, because it was originally a military facility, that they still had a teaching fort on site. So from the beginning on, I fell in love with feet, foot x-rays, and when you worked with horses, and we had the farriers on site all the time. So for us, it was absolutely normal when we had evaluation of horses, of sport horses, that when they were not doing 100% right, we would take foot x-rays and see if there was a problem in the feet, especially if they blocked to the feet first, because you can do so much and you can enhance performance in horses that are not lame before a pathology develops. You know that yourself. You see it way, way earlier in how the shape of the hoof capsule changes, and that you are starting to get into a problem territory before actually pathology has developed.
Awesome. Yeah. And obviously, I'm interested in them because I am involved in a lot of hoof rehab. So I have horses that have hoof issues, and I find it super valuable to be able to collaborate with the vet and know, you know, a little bit of what I'm looking at in the radiographs to influence what I'm doing to the feet. Because ultimately, you know, we're there. I mean, the farriers or hoof care providers are there, you know, typically once a month, maybe a little less than that, but often they're more than the vet. So it's helpful to kind of have some idea of what's going on when we're.
And I think you get a better insight into the horse and how they're changed than we as vets do. As I do a lot of rehab cases, that's why I started to look more and more into feet, because if the fundament, the base of a horse is not right, you can do whatever treatment you want on top. It will either relapse or re-injure or never heal properly. And that's why I think it's so, so important. And X-rays give you so much information that we can't see from the outside. Like you said, you can see there is a change. You can see there is a difference in a loading pattern or you can see it, how the hoof capsule has deformed or is not growing equally. And sometimes or often, X-rays give you an answer what's going on inside. Even if it looks still okay from the outside, on the inside, there can be a lot already wrong.
Absolutely. So first, I know we're kind of doing like that background, what you're interested in, how you became interested in it. But can we start by maybe defining what are podiatry radiographs and do they differ from, you know, a regular diagnostic radiograph?
Yes, they do. First of all, how do we take a proper X-ray to get them for evaluation of podiatry problems? First of all, the horse needs to be standing equally with its leg perpendicular to the ground. That means a right angle, not leaning to one side or the other. The head needs to be in the middle, kind of like at the height of the chest, and equally weight bearing. That's really important. Then to get proper X-rays, we need to have them on blocks, at least two in the front. If we just evaluate the fronts, if we do the hinds, we need to have two in the hinds. We can't just have them standing on one block or none, otherwise we do not get the whole foot on it. That's really, really important. If the horse is not weight bearing equally, or the head is turned to one side or the other, or really, really low in the front, it will overload and it will give you a wrong picture of what's actually going on, because it's in a loaded situation and not in a neutral situation. So this is really, really important. Then the center beam placement is different when we are looking for pathology in the foot, where we usually center onto the navicular or coronary band, whereas when we want to evaluate what the coffin bone is doing and how the angles are of this bone, what's the main aim there, we actually shoot it directly onto the coffin bone. That means 1 or 2 centimeters, what's that, half an inch about, above the weight-bearing surface. So relatively low compared to when we do for pathology and we want to look at the coffin joint or the navicular bone, where we shoot around the coronary band. So where we aim the center beam is a big difference, and it changes your angles and what you're looking at, because the focus is different on what you're concentrating on. The other thing is the hooves need to be clean and the frogs need to be prepared, filled out with Play-Doh or something similar. Ideally, you would do series with or without the shoes, and then you have them at least before and after shoeing, so you can see if you have pathology, if your correction was what you wanted to do. You need markers. You need at least a marker for, and even if it's 2 dots just on the lateral side or on the dorsal side with the barium paste, or just tape on a coin or something that you have there on the coronary band, so you know where the coronary band is. And ideally, you have also something in the tip of the frog. This is especially important if you do laminitic horses or horses with massively distorted hoof capsules, because then you can see where's the tip of my frog with a marker. Just use a normal how do you call those little?
A thumbtack? We've done thumbtacks before.
Yes, a tack. Yes, exactly. Because then it tells you where is your, where's the tip of the frog in relation, and you can have the measurements. Where is my tip of my coffin bone in relation to the frog? So you know where you have to place your protection, or you can see, you know, like my navicular bone is like 3 centimeters behind the tip of the frog. So you know exactly where you have to you put your support if you have an navicular, or how you would have to trim depending on that. So it gives you so much information when you have markers there. And like I said, it doesn't have to be something special. It can be a coin and a tack. That's all you need. But it gives you so much more information. And the other thing is something that I often see, do at least get 2 views of 1 foot. You need at least a lateral and a DP. Ideally, you will get 3, especially in problem feet like laminitis or horribly distorted, or where you presume there might something be ongoing. So you have at least a 65 DP or more obliques when you think there might be a fracture in there, or we have like a keratoma or something you're looking for, then you will need more. But at least 2 views per foot are absolutely necessary, because the foot is a 3-dimensional structure. If we only look at it from lateral, we will overlook a lot of problems, and we can't know is it, if we have like a incongruency of the heel, is it due to a lateral medial imbalance, so trim dependent, or do we have a lateral or medial sinker? It can't be determined what is going on if you have only 1 view.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that you addressed in that answer too. So I went to a clinic at Eponamind, and they make the Metron hoof software. And I was able to see how, you know, having the hoof on, or having the feet on only 1 block, or having them, you know, change the angle of where they're holding the radiograph machine, how it affected the views and how different the views could be. Do you have any, I mean, is there any kind of statistic or information on how much it can change, you know, the angle or the appearance?
If you're not 100% perpendicular, I think it can change your view or your angles from 2 to 4 degrees. Wow. That's a massive change in PA if you are off. So perpendicular, this is really, so it's not just important where you place the beam, like where that little red dot is when you take the x-ray, but it's also important the angle you take. You should always take it perpendicular to the leg. That means to the correct axis of the leg. So if we have a toe-in horse, this will not be 100% lateral from the side, because if it's toe in, you have to come a little bit more from the front. And a tip that I have for anyone who wants to take x-rays, or when you're there as a farrier and help the vet to get the angles right, is like, see how the foot wants to be. Like you have, if you have it hang, you can see is it turned in from the fetlock down, or is it turned out, or is it straight? Because this is the most important part, because that's the joint that we're working with and the area that we're working with that gives us the angulation, and it gives us the true angulation no matter how it is trimmed. So if we are dealing with a toeing conformation, we need to come more from cranial, so more in the head, instead of like 100%, 90% to the 90 degrees to the shoulder. If it's more a toe-out conformation, then we would have to do it more from the caudal side, so more going towards the back. And that's really important. And for me, it helps if I just have a piece of straw or something like that, or even just a ruler that I always have with me, and I place it there in the parallel to the leg angulation. So if I have it toe in, I just place it next to the horse on the floor, where it is if it's toe out. So if you have a windswept horse, that will be toe in on one side and toe out on the other. So your angulation to get the perfect nice shot is different for both feet, and it's not straight from the side. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I was wondering, so when I take hoof photos, which obviously isn't the same as radiographs, but when I'm documenting hoof photos, a lot of times I'll try to take a lateral or the side view from where the outside heel bulb is superimposed over the inside heel bulb, like pretty evenly. Is that sort of what you're getting at, where it's
yes.
Okay.
Because the direction of the heel bulbs, if they're not massively distorted, like if you have sheared heels, it won't work. But if it's like not massively distorted, then you have it. But that's only giving you the angulation on the height where you take them, correct? So the height, how high you have your camera off the ground.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, so when when I'm doing that, I'm sort of, I'm thinking like when it might be totally different for radiographs. So correct
me. That's exactly the same. Yeah. So that's when you have them we put them on those, on the blocks, so we get them off the ground so we can actually see the sole, otherwise we don't. That's why we have to get them off the blocks. And so they're equally off the ground. They need to have at least two, ideally they stand on four blocks, so they're equally just off the ground. And then the blocks are often, if we buy them correctly, if we make them correctly, at the height so we can actually have the machine on the floor if it's a straight floor and can shoot it like that. So we don't have an oblique picture because it's too high or too low, or we can have a like very nice parallel X-ray beam going parallel to the floor. And then there is also, if the legs are torqued, how far from the front and how far from the back do you have to take it to get the perfect perpendicular X-ray as a perfect lateral. Because most of the legs do have some torque in them. You know yourself, horses don't have straight legs.
Yeah.
Even though what we say they do. And that's why it's so difficult in many of them to get the perfect lateral pictures, because we try to take them at the 100% 90 degree to the leg. And that's often when you get those oblique views, because the leg is not 90 degree.
Yeah. And honestly, I mean, as a hoof care provider, I get a lot of radiographs emailed to me or sent to me from veterinarians for rehab cases. And there's nothing more frustrating than when I get a shot where you can't see the bottom of the hoof because maybe they weren't on blocks and they're not up off the ground, or where I can, you know, clearly see like both branches of the shoe or like the entire shoe because it's not actually, it's either above or below the foot. So it can be really like, I know this is so important, and obviously I'm not the one able to take the radiographs.
Also what's really important, that you always have the same distance, like kind of like make yourself like aware that I take every time 1.5 meters away from the horse. This is when you know your X-ray machine, everyone is a little bit different, and it's like written on the back where you get the collimation. That means like where everything is a true picture and the best, how do I say, you know, X-ray beams, they go together and they go apart. So there's like when you have a lens, there's one perfect distance to get the picture right, so you do not get that flare. And like you said, like often over like the shoes who are not at the same height. So the distance away from where you take the X-rays is important, the angle from top to bottom, and the angle from front to back. This all needs to be a 90 degree angle all together. That's why it's so difficult, because it's three-dimensional.
Right.
It's not easy. Like everybody thinks it's very easy. Oh, the vet just tips up and then he just like in 10 seconds, he kind of like takes four pictures. Why is it so expensive? And why do they need so much? Like if you have a vet come and do that and gets really nice X-rays, this is a very, very experienced vet who has a very good eye for anatomy. You will get that from some vets who do a lot of pre-purchase exams and stuff like that, and X-rays falls. They can take 20 pictures in 10 minutes and have everything perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you talked about the distance from the actual limb or the foot. So if I have two different radiographs on different dates and I'm trying to compare, you know, is there improvement or is there not? Are we able to compare two radiographs that are I'm trying to think of a...
If you have measurements in there, because like if you have something like the Metron, where yeah. it actually like has a software in there that gives you the measurements already. The other thing what you can have is like you can have a so-called extent markers that you put there. Like the Metron system has that for the ferries. You just put it outside and it's like 2 centimeters high or something like that. And you always have then an extension or an external marker that is always the same. So you know exactly this is 2 centimeters and you can compare all the pictures because you have something where you know it's exactly that width.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Awesome. It's the same when you do, you know, I have a coin on the dorsal hoof wall and you put it on there. You know exactly how wide that coin is because coins always have the same size. If you know, I put on a 50 cent piece or whatever you have, and that always, you know, the length. So you can always go from there. If you have a marker on, you know exactly the distance, you can get the distances always right, even if you have to extrapolate them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, because I see a lot of people who will, you know, post radiographs on Facebook groups and you have non-veterinarians or people just mentioning like, oh, it looks worse now or oh, whatever. But I guess we can't really know without knowing exactly how the radiographs were taken and if there's a marker. And honestly, if two different machines or two different vets were taking it, can't that also affect the, you know, the settings on the radiograph machine or the exposure or things like that?
With the modern ones, it's not as 100%, written in stone as it was before. Before, if you didn't have your exposure and your settings right, you either had a white blob or you burned everything out and everything was black. And that made a big, big difference. Now with the digital X-ray, we can actually play and we can play with the computing. That means it gets the contrasts absolutely perfect. So you can also then define, do I want to see more soft tissue? Do I want to see more bone? And you can actually play on the computer directly with it till you have the perfect contrast. So there is it's highly dependent on how modern the equipment is that your vet is working with. But yes, that makes a difference. It's not as obvious as it was like 20 years before when I started, when you had to take the picture and then you had to run with it into the black chamber, like with the red light, and you had to take it out and then you had to measure the temperature and then you had to dip it in depending on the temperature of the liquid, you had to put it in and then you had to wait and then you had to stabilize it and then you could finally go out with the wet one and you hold it against the light and you see, oh, can I see something or not?
Yeah. Right.
Nowadays, it's literally seconds. And before that, we had 10 minutes or so till we actually had a picture and we never could anything change on it. Now, with the modern techniques that we have, you can get a lot more details than before.
Oh yeah,
and also the detailing is much, much better. I can see details now with the modern machines that were never possible before. And especially for a laminitis cases, this is absolutely critical because I can see, even if I have no rotation, that I have a swelling of a lamina. I can see soft tissue, so I can actually, even without marker, if I have a good X-ray, I can see where's my coronary groove, and I can see do I have sinking or something like that. So it's a little bit more forgiving than the less modern systems that we have.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so obviously we're talking a lot about these things that maybe like the average horse owner might not know about. So in terms of things like we're, you know, talking about, oh, this radiograph might be oblique or things like that. Are there some tips for beginner, you know, or just owners when they're looking at a radiograph to know if they're taken in a way that's useful or not as useful? Or even can we define like what we mean by oblique so that owners know, like, yeah, you know, what we're
so
looking
for? So if you, for example, a very easy one to see if it's oblique or not, if your horse has shoes on and the X-ray is taken, like you said, a very easy one is like the shoe should be one line. I shouldn't see like two different lines in the heels. The same goes for the joint space if you look at the lateral. So I should have a very nice a joint space and one line of the shoe if we look at the lateral, just for basic ones. If you only have a barefoot foot, you should see a very nice double line on the coffin joint, and it should be very equal. And if it's a healthy foot and there is no pathology in there, the two parts of the heel of the coffin bone, they should be overlapping nicely, and it should be a triangular shape. The moment you start to see two lines at the bottom, it's either an oblique picture or you have sinking of some kind.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's things that, you know, I look for too as a hoof care provider, because if I'm going to make decisions on the trim or what I'm going to do to the foot, I don't want to make a decision based on a radiograph that was taken, off the plane of interest or whatever.
Yes.
So I think that's just good to know anyway, even though we're not veterinarians, so we don't have to know all those.
Another thing, what I think is quite important for the farrier to know, is that when we have a podiatry x-ray, we always want to have the part of the fetlock joint in there, so you can actually see the orientation of the cannon bone. Because this tells you, when you afterwards look at the alignment of the bony column, you have to be able to evaluate, was the horse standing with the leg straight, so perpendicular, or did the horse have some compensation pattern, meaning like it was leaning forward or what it was camped under. So this will also tell you, because then you can't, rely on the bony column alignment, or the so-called hoof pastern axis, is what you see from the outside. Hoof pastern axis doesn't always be the same as your bony column inside, but you need to be able to see how the legs were in relation to was the horse actually standing perpendicular to the ground.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because otherwise, you often have them when they stand camped under, especially in the hinds, that the bony column looks actually not too bad, because they're compensating so much to stretch out as much as possible and compressing the heels. And then it would be way more broken back, but the horse compensates with the cannon bone.
Right.
It's like, this is something that's happening very, very regularly. And this is kind of a misleading picture, because it's not a neutral stance. It's a camped under. And that changes your weight bearing massively.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And in terms of, I know that we've talked a bit about what looks like an oblique, or what would be an oblique radiograph from a lateral, but something that I've always wondered the DP, like a view from the front, how do we know if they're taken at the right orientation?
This is a little bit more tricky, because like you've seen, I think Monica Crepe did there a great article about how when you move the head, the joint spaces are moving. So if you were not there as a farrier and you do not know the horse had its head neutral and the legs were straight, you can't rely on joint spacing 100%. What you can rely on, if you have a marker left and right, where's the coronary band? Is it equal? Because if you can see that from the DP on the left and the right side, you can see, are they on the same height? The other thing you can always trust on is, where are the nutrient forearms? If we look at the coffin joint or the coffin bone, these little blood vessels, they are parallel to the ground. Well, they should be parallel to the ground. If they're not, we have to ask to ourselves why. So I always measure the orientation of the nutrient foramen when I put it there. I have the ground parallel surface. And then you can see, because sometimes coffin bones are misshapen, especially if something has been going on. So you can't evaluate how much is the distance on one side compared to the other, because the coffin bone is sometimes not parallel in itself. So you have to take all those things into account. So the height of your coronary band, is it parallel? The two nutrient forearms and the ground distance on the left and on the right side of the coffin bone.
Yeah, and I think why I struggle with that too is that I feel like so much of that can also be influenced by the trim or, you know, how the horse has worn over the cycle.
Yeah. And the other thing is, that's why I like to combine it with a 65 DP. Your heel can be correct in the height, but if you have toe length discrepancy, it will look like you have lateral medial imbalance and you can see some overlapping and you even see some torque in the bones that is not there. And even if it's just heel, toe length discrepancy, when you look at it then from a 65 DP or 60 DP, I can see what shape does my coffin bone have. So it gives me information about, do I have pedal osteitis? Do I have absorption of the bone? Is there some P3 fractures? Like type 6 fractures get often overlooked if we do not do this view, because we can't, sometimes you can just not see them in the lateral. In a lateral more likely, but in a DP you can't see them. So this will give you way more information of what's going on in the foot. And the other thing is, you can always see, is the shape of the pedal bone and is the shape of the hoof capsule congruent? Because if you take them straight like the other ones, it's the angulation is important. But you can often see, especially in barefoot horses, let's say we have a toe-in horse, you can see on the outside how it's more worn away and how the inside of the toe area is getting longer. So then, you know, when you look at the DP and it's not 100% correct, but your heel length is the same, it might be a problem in toe length that is causing the torque that we're seeing. So That's why it helps when you have more than one view, because you get more and more information. It's just then that you can put those informations together in your head to make a picture, a three-dimensional picture.
Yeah, that makes sense. And in terms of, so, you know, the 60 or 65 degree DP, is that the same as like a solar margin view? Or can you explain what that is for somebody who might not know what that is?
Yes, solar margin view, would you call it. And it depends then again, where do you focus your beam? Like if most of the time we focus it because we want to evaluate the navicular bone. But if you want to, like it's also called a oxspring. How do I say oxspring X-ray view? It's a dorsal proximal. That means it comes from the front end higher up and goes palmaro distal. That means it goes downwards and backwards. And at a 60 to 65 degree, depending a little bit on the conformation of the horse. And depending on where you put your beam, if you put it above the coronary band, then you're going to have the very perfect, or on the coronary band, you have the perfect one to evaluate the navicular bone. It gives you also a lot of information when you presume that there might be a problem on the navicular bone. We can see, is it wider than your DP? You can see, is there a problem with the impar ligament? Because that's what you can see very well. This is something where we often have problems. Otherwise, you can see, is it like moth eaten or how does that look there? And you can see the whole border of P3 of your coffin bone. So it makes a big difference and gives you extra information.
Right. Yeah. And that's something that I've had people comment on too, is that, you know, if you're taking that DP view from above, like the 60 or 65, then really, you know, some people will try to extrapolate information about the coffin bone or the navicular bone without knowing for sure what the actual intention of the radiograph was. Would that skew it enough where you could misdiagnose something if you're trying to say, oh, well, the coffin bone has a lot of loss, but it was actually aimed at the navicular bone?
No. You would not misdiagnose that. Because the coffin bone, because it's like finished growing, very early. Like the growth plates are already closed when the foal's born. And with 11 months, the shape is given. So the foal's born with a relatively soft coffin bone. And then when the weight is added on, the shape of the coffin bone, depending on its conformation, that's why it's so important that we make sure early on that the foals are standing really nicely there, because it's shaping the coffin bone for the rest of their life. With 11 months, the shape of your coffin bone is given, and all it does is grow. And it should now have nice sharp edges. The moment we see enhanced channels or changes in density, what we call pedal osteitis for whatever reason, that means the moment we see that, it's visible in the X-ray, we have lost around 40% of the density of the coffin bone.
Wow.
It's not just a little bit. It's 40% of the toe area is gone till we start to see those rugged edges and stuff like that. And the only thing what we can't say is if it's acute or if it's like already there for a long time. Because once that mass is gone, it's gone. It never gets put back.
And so in terms of, I mean, I guess what I meant by that is that if you're aiming the radiograph at the navicular bone, is it going to cause any like washing out of the view of the coffin bone or?
No.
Okay.
No, that's not a problem. That's why this view is really nice, because it doesn't change a lot of the angles. It might change the shape from more oval to more round when we change it, but it's always going to be the same density. It's always going to be the same distance from, you know, like the bone to the hoof wall. So even if the shape changes a little, we always see the relation of the distance between horn zone and bone itself, and we're always going to see the frazzled ends of the navicular and if it's coming out on the sides or not. So this is a view where when you're 5 degrees off or not, that doesn't change
okay.
what you're seeing.
Okay.
Just the shape changes a little bit, but the shape for you as a farrier or me as a vet is not so important for me. It's important how's the quality of the bone that I see. How are the channels? How is the density of the bone? These are the things that interest you. Do I have an equal shape, or is one side having an inverted shape instead of a nice round lunar shape? So these are things, and they don't change if you are 5 degrees off or not.
Okay.
There's where you have a big tolerance, because we're not measuring angles.
Right. That makes sense. So obviously, you know, now that we've had a little bit of information about how to know if maybe a radiograph is slightly taken oblique or askew or not in the plane that we want, and say we're there with a veterinarian, you know, we're not veterinarians, so we're not taking them, and we're seeing maybe some things that are showing that it's not perfectly lined up with how we might want it. How can we sort of communicate with veterinarians if we want a radiograph to be retaken? Because I know that I never want to offend a vet. They've had so much more schooling than I have. But, you know, I often get podiatry radiographs sent to me, so I know the ones that I like looking at and what I find most useful. So is there a way that owners
there, can... While you're there is the easiest thing. So if you see the shoe or the heels of the shoes are not overlapping, just ask and say, please, can we retake that? Because it's slightly oblique. And for the purposes of shoeing, it gives a wrong picture because I can't see the angles correctly. I think it's just like pointing out the fact you can't be polite in. I mean, I wouldn't say that's a shitty picture. I mean, yes. do please stay, control your language. But it's never wrong to state facts and perhaps also make clear which angles you need and what's important to you for shoeing. Because like I said, when I as a vet take x-rays to evaluate a foot, I usually they usually take it differently than when you have them for shoeing evaluation. Like I said, the central bean is different. And sometimes it's just helpful pointing that out as a farrier. And that's not meant derogatory or anything. It's just like, make sure that you get the information that you need, that you also, that they measure for you the bone angles of both feet. Because if you have a high-low foot, you have to know, is it a true high-low or is it due to a distorted hoof capsule? And high-low means we have a difference in bone angle. So when we look from the side on it, of 5 degrees or more, you will never be able to make those feet look similarly, and they will never have the same biomechanics. You will have to treat them as two different feet, like the upright and the flat one. Both of them will get their own problems. The upright tends to contract more because of the upright conformation, and the heel will grow faster and more equal than the flat foot, who has the tendency to crush the heel area. So one contracts, the other one gets compressed. So there's problems in both of them, and they will need a different approach. They might need the same solution, like some DIM and some support there while you correct it. But it's different problems, and it will always stay different because the bone angle is different. And to try to make them look similar will put stress on one foot or the other and all the ejected tissues further up.
Yeah. And honestly, I have so many more questions about things like that, like diagnosis and how we can use these radiographs to either, you know, help us with our approach to the feet or help us figure out what's going on. But honestly, I think that we could do like a whole nother episode on that, because I have just as many questions for that as we just did. And we're, you know, coming up on kind of like the end of the time that I have available. So I would love if you have the time another day to have a whole another episode about kind of looking at the radiographs in a diagnostic way.
Yes. The only thing what I would like to point out, make sure you have three views where you can see your metacarpal in, so you can evaluate the bony column, because that's important for you. And then you need to have a marker at the coronary and ideally at the tip of the frog. These are two things that are important for you as farriers, because you need to know where in relation to the frog it is so you can trim properly, and you need to know where in relation to the coronary band your processus extensorius from your coffin joint is, so you can see is the horse sinking or not. You need to know your hoof, your wall thickness, and you need to know your sole thickness, and you need to know your PA. So what is the angle of the coffin point in relation to the ground? These are the most important ones. And then when you have your coffin joint, you can see where is your center of rotation. Is it 50-50? You can see how much is the wall angle on the dorsal side compared to the wall angle on the heel. You shouldn't have like more than 5 degrees different there here either, so otherwise you have an underrun heel. So these are lots of information you can get apart, and that's totally independent on what pathology is in there. Just where you are, is your center of forces, is it coming perpendicular to the foot or not? Because that's the most important for you as a hoof care provider. Do we get them to be able to land and load equally and perpendicular to the ground?
Yeah. Awesome. And, you know, I know that you mentioned some sort of last minute advice, but, you know, we obviously have veterinarians and farriers and owners who listen to this podcast. So do you have any tips maybe for a veterinarian or an owner when it comes to being there for an appointment or taking radiographs that we kind of want to send people off with?
Ideally, it's really nice if you can be there. I know it's. I really, really love it to be there while the farriers are there, especially with problem feet. If it's like just for evaluation, that's something I can take without him. and then do all the measurements. I try to do all the measurements for my farriers to send them out so they actually have some information. And they, like you ask, you said, like, I have no measurements, I have no distances. I think especially sole depth, and if you have rotation or stuff like that, or forward migration of the capsule, these are things that the farrier needs to know. Also, is the shoe placement or the ground surface 50-50 or something like that under your coffin joint and stuff like that. You know, like basic information that are important, so he knows where the placement of the shoe should be. Where is your breakover point and all those things? This should be measured, and this should be something that you should get from your vet when they do that, ideally, because that's what podiatry x-rays are about, to give you measurements and guidance. It's not for to recognize a pathology. This is something else. When we find a pathology, we can sometimes use the same x-rays to help the farrier to do that. And if you know what pathology is inside the hoof, it helps you to make a plan. But it's teamwork. The owner, the vet, and the farrier, we all need to work together for the horse to make it best. So if we have the possibility to be together at the same appointment, we can get a much better outcome, because like there's like no waiting period in between. You can have discussions. If the x-rays are not diagnostic for what you needed as a farrier, you can actually say something. Because yeah. Say, you know, I need to know this angulation, and because of this and this view, I don't get the information that I actually need, or there is a marker missing. I would need that information to know how to help it better. And then when there's like no interface in between, you get things done faster and in a better way as a corporation, instead of like one says that, takes time, when this one does that, this one understands that. It's really important that we do it as a team.
Yeah. And I guess that's a huge thing too, is that, you know, if you're able to educate yourself on what you want or what you need to work with, then if you're there, you're able to communicate that as well. So that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. Because, you know, vets have very stressful, busy days. And sometimes it's like you do it, you know, you focus on the navicular because that's where you usually do it, and you don't think, oh, it's for the farrier. They don't do that on purpose or anything, so, because that's what we usually do. And if you need something else, you need to communicate that very clearly. And sometimes we just forget. I'm married to a farrier myself, so and still sometimes there is like some miscommunication, and it's just, you just need to talk. We need to talk all with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, I would love to schedule a time where we can hop on another call and kind of dig more into this, because it's just, it is such a big topic. And not that I'm trying to be a vet, or nobody's trying to be a vet, but it's just good to know more information of what we're looking at. So I'd love to do that again if you're willing and have the time.
More than happy to.
Awesome. All right. Great. So, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is such a great conversation. And, you know, I even learned quite a bit. So thank you so much for chatting with me about it.
You're more than welcome.
And we'll be in touch to schedule another day to talk.
Yeah. Bye bye.
Have a good rest of your day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye. I always say that I'm slightly more hoof obsessed than the average person. And chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too. So we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.